Welcome to the Unblocking Crypto Podcast. This podcast is not financial advice. It's meant for entertainment purposes only. These are just the opinions of a couple of rambling wrecks.
Welcome back to episode number 136 of Unblocking Crypto. Hal, great to see you.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Fantastic. So this week, I feel like there's not any huge news, but there's a bunch of little things going on. So let's just jump into it. I know one of the things we talked about a couple of weeks ago was that the SEC was going after Uniswap. The good news is that Uniswap has just settled with the CFTC for about $175,000 fine, and which means that the only thing they're not allowed to do right now is to trade leveraged index tokens, which is coming from one single company that created those, and it's not allowed to be done on the app. That being said, there's ways to do it where it's not on the app, so it can still happen behind the scenes, but just not for most people that aren't advanced users.
And that seems like a real slap on the wrist to be in the low hundreds of thousands of dollars as a fine. I feel like the SEC doesn't roll out of bed for less than a $100 million fine. So that seems reasonable. You know, Uniswap and DeFi in general is going to be tricky to deal with from the SEC standpoint anyway. So I'll put that on the list with the SEC not hitting home runs when they step up to the plate.
Well, that was the CFTC. So they CFTC. got past the CFTC. They still have to deal with the SEC's Wells notice. And there's not really any understanding of what that is for or what is even going to happen. I mean, because there's been a couple of those that they've issued and then done nothing with. Right. So what the SEC is going to do, I have no idea. But the CFTC said, oh, you're good. Here's a small fine. Let's move on.
Yeah, that's a very reasonable fine. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. But it just feels like it's losing steam on the regulation by decree side of things.
Yeah, the other thing we talked about in the past was kind of this whole like choke point 2.0, and if you're a crypto friendly bank, they're coming after you. Well, the Fed issued a cease and desist order on United Texas Bank. And really the reason they did that was there was some crypto concerns over deficiencies of risk management, which honestly, I'm not sure what that really means. It's kind of cryptic on what they're calling it, but it's just interesting that they are still a crypto-friendly bank and the Fed, who controls the money, doesn't want them to do a lot. So we'll see what really happens with this and if they kind of come out of it with just a few minor changes in the risk management strategy or what's going to happen here.
Yeah, so deficiencies in risk management, but tons of banks had issues when bond prices went down because interest rates went up, and they had to create a whole new division of money giving to banks to keep them afloat while in order to prevent bank runs. And then they go after us, an individual bank, for deficient risk management. I would have to think that this is a targeted thing.
Yeah. And then I know, let's talk a little bit about politics real quick. Schumer, who's the majority leader in the Senate, came out with a letter to Congress to try to prevent a shutdown. And he focused on three things: rail safety, prescription drugs, and AI, and left crypto off of that completely, which is weird because about a month ago, he said that he was almost guaranteeing that there would be some crypto regulation by the end of the year. So it's kind of interesting to say one thing and then a month later, it's completely forgotten about. Nobody's really talking about it in the Democratic campaign, right? I mean, I guess Kamala is not really accepting crypto, but her Future Forward PAC is on her behalf. So, I mean, there's maybe a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, but it's still a big question mark on what's going to happen from the blue team.
No, to me, their lack of clarity on their position on crypto is very intentional, right? I mean, it's been left off of like the policy document that's 92 pages long that they released. It's missing everywhere. So for her not to have a position, for that legislation not to mention it, you know, it's a very loud signal that they just don't want to take a position, so that in the event that they win in November, they can go whichever direction they want or whichever direction they're told to go in by lobbyists and corporations behind them. So, but it still doesn't make sense to me, because I feel like the banking sector is slowly rotating towards crypto. And so maybe they're waiting for that to rotate all the way, or maybe it's rotating towards Bitcoin and they're afraid to take a pro Bitcoin stance and a neutral crypto stance. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Like normally they talk around things. They don't just not talk about them at all. It feels like they're not talking about them at all. But we got a debate tonight. So the chances of Bitcoin and crypto coming up, I'm very low in my opinion, going into tonight's debate. I'm happy to be wrong, but I've been watching some of the most annoying television possible, waiting for them to use the word Bitcoin, and I haven't gotten it yet. So I don't expect to see it today unless Trump comes out and says it and realizes that it's a possible weakness for her to address or not be able to address. I don't see the moderators bringing it up.
Yeah. Oh, it's interesting. Trump was in New York and had a speech that he talked about the U.S. would be the world capital of crypto and Bitcoin, which is kind of exciting. He also talked about creating a government efficiency commission that would be possibly led by Elon Musk to get rid of all the fraud in government. So there's a lot of interesting things being said. Will it actually happen? That's a whole other issue. We're finding out politicians in general say a lot of stuff, but do they actually make it happen?
Yeah. Well, the government efficiency commission is Elon Musk's idea. So he more or less asked Trump if he would commit to it and he would be available if needed. And so that makes it makes it easier to do something that somebody else wants to do in that position, like instead of generating your idea from scratch and all of that. So I'd love to see it. Elon Musk was at the All In Summit this week and talked about that the government is quickly going bankrupt and no one's talking about it. So maybe if you get enough people talking about it before November, it actually becomes a thing.
Yeah, I think he joked about if he had some time, he was only running $5 billion companies right now. So he thinks he could find some time to do that.
Right. Trying to go to Mars, trying to get people to be able to move their bodies with their brains or move computers with just their brains. Small things. Like he's not doing he's not starting up another Uber or another company that already exists. He's doing things that no one else has done. It's pretty.
Yeah.
I'm impressed, man. I know that he's kind of a lightning rod of a character, but you know, for people that can do things like that, they're not going to act like a normal person, because if they were a normal person, they wouldn't do all of this. So that's just the way it is.
That's very true. So let's talk a little bit about kind of what's going on with Bitcoin, because I feel like there has been quite a bit of a drop and it's coming back. I mean, it dropped into the low 50s and kind of back into the mid to high 50s at this point. What's interesting about Bitcoin that I was reading is that Bitcoin has now been trading longer than the NASDAQ. So the NASDAQ launched back in 1971 and it's had just over 100,000 hours of trading time. Bitcoin launched in 2010 and it's had over 123,000 hours because it's traded 24/7, 365. So that's kind of funny that now we have Bitcoin being traded more than the whole NASDAQ.
It's amazing. I was looking at this year. I've actually drawn some lines on some charts and because we're just in this trading range all year long, like 50 to 75. And you know, when it goes down to 50 now, I don't even feel it. It's like, it's weird to me that we're, you know, just this week we were to touch over where the Bitcoin ETF started from a price standpoint. And so I'm like, okay, well, this is a good buying opportunity. I mean, it's weird. The fear and greed index touched extreme fear and has been in fear for days at $54,000 and $55,000 of Bitcoin. I'm like, give me more of that. Yes, this is hilarious that we're in a fear situation. And I feel like we could be back to 70,000 in 2 weeks without any news or anything else, because that's kind of what we've been doing for 8 months. So it's kind of funny to watch and see this thing build up. Like, this would be like an accumulation and reallocation of Bitcoin, you know, from short-term holders to long-term holders that's lasted forever. And so, you know, it has given people that just buy Bitcoin and never sell it 8 months to stack. And they're stacking from people that are buying and selling, trying to buy the tops and sell the bottoms. So, you know, you can only do this stuff for so long before you get a little bit of a run on buying. So, you know, September's usually pretty weak and October's usually Uptober. So if we just follow the normal plan, it would be very un-Bitcoin like to do what everybody thinks it's going to do. So maybe this time it does what everybody thinks it's going to do, because that would be unexpected.
Yeah. So September has been negative 7 out of the last 10 years for Bitcoin. The good news is October and November are the two best months, November being the best and October being the second best. So, I mean, that is exciting. There could be some more downside possibly in September, but that's kind of okay and expected at this point. I mean, shoot, I don't know if you saw NVIDIA last week, they lost 9.5% in their stock price in a single day, which is, I think, over about a $300 billion market cap. Like, that's huge.
That's huge.
If that would happen in crypto, like, of course, they would have said Bitcoin's dead, but no one's saying NVIDIA's dead. They're like, oh, we should buy some more now.
Yeah, it's a buying opportunity.
I saw also Mark Moss had talked about Bitcoin having a 89.5 sensitivity ratio to global liquidity. And what that means is that if global liquidity goes up 10%, then Bitcoin goes up 89.5%. So he was kind of saying, I mean, right now with the rest of the world just printing money, getting to $1 million by 2030 is not going to be very difficult to do. So, and in truth, if you look at U.S. debt, I think it's growing at about $1 trillion every 100 days. So yeah. I mean, it's crazy how that's moving so quickly.
No, I mean, it's $1 trillion every 100 days and increasing. As older debt rolls off and it's refinanced at a higher rate, and we're still operating in a deficit. So we're deficit spending in addition to refinancing low interest, long-term debt into high interest, long and short-term debt. So it's, I mean, everything is the way it is, man. Everybody talks about a debt spiral and all of that. And for all I know, we can go to $100 trillion in debt before there's a real problem. So, you know, I'm not convinced of it. That there's not some lever they're going to pull to extend this thing and kick the can down the road. And I know it's a problem. You know, it's a problem. Elon Musk knows it's a problem, but these zombie companies can keep operating. You know, they're not profitable in real terms, but their stock prices are still going up. So it's, yeah. How long can a country do it?
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about Japan over the past months, and I feel like they had a ton of news here in this last week that was kind of interesting. The first one was they're going to start to explore Bitcoin mining with their surplus renewable energy. And there is a belief that it could probably generate at least $2.5 billion a year, if not more. And that's just looking at using about 10% of that surplus. And one of the big problems they've had, because everybody's been leaving Japan because of their crazy rules, they're now considering taxing crypto as an asset instead of income, which would drop it from like a 45% tax rate down to like 20. So they're hoping that more crypto companies will stay. And then even the Bank of Japan governor was hinting that there's more rate hikes to come. So, I mean, if you look at the yen carry trade, as of like October of last year, Deutsche Bank was saying that was a $20 trillion business, right? So it's definitely going to change, but that's a lot of money out there for that with no interest rates.
Yeah, that's a huge difference, man. No, it's funny that Japan is in the news so much. I feel like if you looked at the last 4 years, Japan was not making a lot of ripples in crypto, and they've been popping up a lot from a macroeconomic and crypto Bitcoin standpoint. So I think using Bitcoin miners in the power industry is definitely a net positive. It's great for grid stability. It's great for renewables to trim down when they're overproducing, and you can shut them off when you need the power from wind and solar. So I think that I think they should do it, and then we'll see where it goes. Like, the more miners, the better. And even, you know, there's a lot of big miners popping up, so it'd be nice to have another big miner in a different country with a different set of rules.
I know we talked a little bit about Nigeria last week too, and I did watch the video of Tigran asking for a wheelchair and them not giving it to him, and he's pretty much just like dragging his foot with one crutch. It was kind of crazy. The bail hearing has now been pushed to October 9th. So nothing's going to happen for about a month. I mean, it's just, it's crazy to see this happening and really this being okay for Nigeria to do.
Yeah, I saw the same video. I'm like, this should probably get some things moving. Like, this guy's either a great actor or he's clearly not doing great. And it's one thing to hear about it, read about it, but once if more and more people see that and, you know, see an American being treated like this in a country that's really not even a, you know, it's not like we need to trade terrorists for civilians in a hostage deal with Nigeria. This feels like an easy thing to get done as soon as it gets on the right people's radar, and it just needs to get there.
And then UK, we've talked a lot about the UK being pretty pro crypto, at least what I thought. What we're finding is maybe they're not as friendly to crypto as expected. What I saw was that 87% of all the crypto registrations have either been rejected, withdrawn, or refused by the UK. So only 4 have been approved so far, and it's all being blamed on weak money laundering controls. So I don't know if that's because it's weak or because it's not possible to do the same thing with crypto as maybe regular traditional finance or what, but that's kind of crazy. There's only been 4 crypto registrations in the UK these days.
Yeah, I mean, it was like when the SEC was like, oh, come on, all you got to do is come in and sign these papers and you're good to go. They're like, yeah, no, it's not that easy. Thanks for trying to convince us otherwise. You know, you're trying to make a thing that you're not familiar with fit into your rules without really making changes that make sense, or spending the time to understand what the industry needs. So yeah, it's just a matter of time before more old people cycle out of politics and younger people cycle in. You know, I'm out here helping my buddy with a startup that's AI based digital marketing in a kind of an old brick and mortar industry, and so there's a lot of older people here. And we kind of debriefed today, and I was like, there's a big gap between what we're saying and what they understand, because if they're 60 years old and we're talking about using AI as a lead generation tool and SEO and CRM, I mean, these are acronyms that people under 40 and 50 maybe even have no problem understanding and going full speed with. These people are not picking up what we're laying down very well, so we're going to go like Elon Musk StarX or SpaceX style and not use any acronyms and just use whole words while we're talking and slow things down. And I feel like that's how crypto needs to talk to regulators or treat regulators. It's like, okay, you're so disconnected from where we are that we need to speak like at a fifth grade reading level, bring everything down so you can understand that how different this is than what, you know, your traditional finance rails. You know, we can't really run on those rails. And so maybe it'll happen and maybe it won't, because, you know, it's kind of hard to get technical people to speak non-technical language. And politics, I don't know how many politicians are technical these days. It's not very many based on what I see in the United States.
It was interesting. Even one of the SEC commissioners came out and said that there needs to be an S-1 that's dedicated just to digital assets, because the current S-1 process does not do justice for digital assets. So, I mean, it's becoming more important just to think about things a little differently because the world is changing, but not many people seem to want to change.
Yeah, I mean, it would require politicians to actually understand the industry. And that's, if they do that, then that's time not spent fundraising and taking money from the private sector so that they can campaign for the next election. So they're not incentivized to actually do that.
So some other really interesting things that I saw. So Blockstream, which is a EU miner, they are doing their third round of hash rate backed tokenized notes, which is kind of interesting. So the first two rounds, they raised about a total of $7 million. This third round, they're trying to raise $10 million. And what it's doing is if you buy this tokenized note, it's going to give you the Bitcoin from a single petahash of hash rate that those miners are creating. So it's kind of interesting. I wouldn't say I understand it completely, but it's, instead of giving you access to shares of a stock, it's actually giving you access to Bitcoin that's created from that on the petahash. So kind of cool.
Yeah, I haven't looked into that, but, you know, I could see how it would make sense as a parallel for, like, almost like a dividend for a company to, like, all right, we're going to allocate a certain portion of our business and revenue generation to kicking it back to investors. You know, this is definitely security talk, but that's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah, and some interesting news from Bloomberg Terminal. They just integrated the Polymarket election data into their terminal, which is kind of a big deal, right? What's interesting is their Polymarket's competitor, Kalshi, just got approval to get election markets after finally battling with the CFTC in court. So the CFTC was trying to keep Kalshi is a U.S.-based company, so they didn't want U.S.-based companies doing any sort of election stuff because they thought it would ruin democracy. But now they're allowed to. CFTC is trying to block it for like 2 more weeks for some reason. Kalshi is trying to push to get some access to this since Polymarket is going crazy, right? Making a ton of money.
Yeah, I mean, some of the people I know that are not very crypto or Bitcoin savvy use Polymarket odds on the election as indicators instead of polling. So that's fairly interesting.
Yeah. VanEck made an announcement too that they're going to close their futures Ethereum ETF now that they actually have the spot Ethereum ETF. I think they had the futures one for a year or so before the spot one. And there's not really a huge need to have the futures ETF when you have the spot ETF. So that will be shut down.
Yeah, I like Ethereum. I mean, honestly, Ethereum, Solana, and everything else down the line seems like they seem to be losing some ground. And I mean, I thought when the Ethereum ETF came into play, we would see some inflows, you know, not like what Bitcoin did, but something. And it seems like down only since the ETF launch.
Yeah, I mean, it's been similar. They had their own grayscale issue to work through. So the other one that was interesting was Phantom. Phantom was one of the original, like one of the kind of the DeFi founders started Phantom, and they are now being rebranded to Sonic Labs. They officially just launched their testnet, which I guess is good news. The FTM token, which is what Phantom used, is apparently going to be replaced by the S token at some point. I mean, when I get more details, I'll share that as well, but that's good to know because I have some Phantom and I want to transfer that over and not have it be worthless here shortly.
Yep. I don't know about this stuff, so I'll let you talk about it.
Travola was also in the news. They are a crypto travel agency. They just joined Skyscanner, which you've probably heard of before. Skyscanner has 110 million monthly users. So now those users can now use over 100 different cryptos to book travel, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that doing that is good. Giving people a way to use their crypto is good. Like hard stop, whether it's Bitcoin or otherwise.
Spacecoin is also kind of coming out here shortly. We've talked about DPIN projects, decentralized physical infrastructure. They are planning to send low Earth orbit satellites up to help establish a kind of 5G network at a fraction of the price of the big telcos. Their first launch is scheduled for Q4 of 2024. And this is especially important when you have countries like Brazil saying you can't use Twitter or X anymore, right? So this is theoretically going to give people a decentralized way to access internet all over the world. And I mean, I think it's a good thing. So we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a good thing for free speech. Free speech seems to be a good thing. So yeah, give it a shot.
Brentech, I know we talked about that a while ago. They started about a year ago. The founders apparently just shut it down. It made about $90 million in fees over the last year. The founders got about $44 million, and they just took the keys to make changes and burned them to an address that nobody owns. So it has no way of changing it. Now, it doesn't mean the project can end. There has been other times like this where someone else has taken the code and forked it. Aerodrone is the largest decentralized exchange on Base, and someone had done that with another project. And when that project kind of went under, they took it, forked the code, and now made it huge, right? So not sure if anything will happen with it, but don't go spending your money at Frentech anymore.
Yeah, that's wild to hear things shutting down.
So a couple interesting like credit card, debit card type news. Mercurio, which is MasterCard-based crypto debit card. They handle about 40 different cryptos. They just launched their card. It is, shocker, only going to be in Europe. No one wants to touch the U.S. right now. And then EtherFi, which is a Visa-based one. I feel like we always hear about MasterCard on crypto. We finally are starting to hear some Visa-based cards. They are working with EtherFi, and EtherFi is working with Scroll Network, which Scroll Network is a layer two on Ethereum that uses ZK technology, which is kind of what I've been talking about is going to be kind of the future. So what's interesting about that card is it's going to give people 3% cash back with no restrictions. Of course, it's not available in the US. It's mainly the EU and some like Hong Kong, Thailand, and Brazil kind of thing. So interested to see what happens with that and how things go. But a lot of that seems to be non-custodial wallets for both of them. So you're kind of holding your own keys, and EtherFi almost does it a little bit where it's, you're holding your crypto, and it's, you can pay off your credit card because you have some money that can be used to take out of it and pay off if you don't pay your credit card type thing. So there's not a lot of details, but it's exciting to see multiple ways to do a decentralized credit card application.
I mean, it's similarly Fold. Their CEO, Will Reeves, has been on a podcast tour, and he's been all over like Bitcoin podcasts. So trying to sell the stock without saying buy my stock, essentially, just basically talking about the good things they're doing. They got 1,000 Bitcoin on the balance sheet, and they have like a Bitcoin standard for the company, essentially. And so anyway, I think people are just finding ways to integrate Bitcoin into the world, and Fold is kind of backdooring a way to be on a, for individuals to be on a Bitcoin standard and use their card like a bank or a checking account in Bitcoin. And so, you know, all of these different things are interesting. A lot of different entrepreneurs finding different ways to try to fill what they perceive as a gap in the finance world. So the more people that do it, the better, because somebody will find something that works.
And I love Fold. I use it all pretty much almost every day. So they're awesome. The other interesting use case, I guess you could call it, in crypto, there's a project called PuffPan. They're launching on Barrachain, which I'm probably going to lose people after all of this, right? But the whole point of this is they are going to reward people with tokens if they reduce their nicotine usage. So it is literally one of those nicotine inhaler type things, or vapes. And so if you use this, it's tracking how much nicotine you're using and connected to the blockchain, and the less you use, the more tokens you get to get you to stop smoking or vaping, whatever it is.
Yeah, this seems like a little passion project that somebody had an idea that could do this basically himself or herself. It would be tough to sign people up. I got a great business idea. I'm going to get people to stop doing nicotine, when Zen seems to be like the most popular thing for people from, I don't even know, in their 20s to 40s, from what I'm watching.
Yeah.
So yeah, nicotine use seems like it's going up. It's just not going up combined with tobacco products.
Yeah. And then I think we've talked about this a little bit in the past. CZ, who was the creator of Binance, is scheduled to be released on September 29th this month. They did finally say that he's going to be released, but he is not allowed to operate or manage the exchange. Now, which is kind of funny, because he's still going to be the majority stakeholder. And as a majority stakeholder, he still can vote at the, I guess, the company get-togethers. So if he decides someone needs to be replaced, because he's majority, he's probably going to get that, right? So we'll see what actually happens. But it's good that he's actually getting out, and that could be another one of those catalysts for crypto, just because there's a lot of people that I think respect and like what he's done for crypto over the past.
Yeah, I mean, whether you like him or not, like, he's the one who pretty much blew the whistle on FTX. And I mean, if that thing continued to grow and get bigger and stronger without doing anything under the hood, that could have been even worse. So, you know, everybody's got mixed feelings about CZ, but it's good to have people that understand crypto and Bitcoin and how you mess with it like it's traditional finance. So We'll see. We'll see what happens. He likes to build stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's all that I had on my end. Anything else that I missed? I know we're doing this one kind of quick.
Yeah, no, I think you covered everything I had.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you joining last minute on this, and we will catch up next week. See how things go.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Jason.
See ya.
If all of these crypto conversations leave you with more questions and you're looking for answers, I've created a product that dives into most of those answers, including why crypto, how to set up a cold wallet, and some of the more advanced strategies for dealing with crypto. Check the link in the notes below and hope to see you there.